Hey guys, welcome back to another Celtics Pulse podcast. I'm Adam at Celtics Pulse.
I'm Brendan at NBA Distributor.
I am Brian at The Sports Genius.
And today we've got another very special guest on. If you'd like to introduce yourself.
I'm Jam Packard from the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Thank you for joining us today, Jam. So guys, who wants to kick it off?
I will. As a longtime Locked On fan, first of all, I'd like to commend you for coining the nickname Tito Three Sticks. I was kind of inspired to suggest for our new draftee, Rico Three Sticks, since he's a third as well. And it makes, you know, about the same amount of sense. So, you know, I'm a big, big fan of that. Also of your promotion of terms such as combat muscles and Kaizen. So I'd like you to comment a little bit on the delight that you seem to take in influencing Celtics culture and the likelihood of Tito Three Sticks sticking around as a nickname.
I'm going to answer the second one first because I was actually thinking about it today because it feels like it's kind of fallen off. Scary Terry has taken over, and let me tell you, they have merchandising. You go everywhere, you see Scary. I'm actually literally wearing a Scary Terry shirt right now, so I'm abandoning my own nickname. But I think Tito Three Sticks will stay as long as Terry Rozier keeps knocking down three-pointers. I mean, it's immediately what I'm going to tweet. I have some good memes already. There's the Tito Three Sticks army out there. And so transition into, influencing Celtics culture. Fun that the people like the dumb, goofy shit I say while I'm watching Celtics games. Tito Three Sticks is just something I started tweeting. And it just, with nicknames, you just got to believe. You got to tweet Rico Three Sticks into existence. Like, eventually people will catch on. I think it's a meritocracy out there in terms of nicknames. But in terms of Celtics culture, I don't know, it's just a really cool thing that kind of stumbled it into, and now I'm lucky enough to like the Celtics games, and I'm just a fan there. I don't really don't know what I'm doing there, but it's been a really cool experience, and so it's been fun. I don't know how much influence I have. There's the real kind of weird people of Celtics Twitter who are really making the memes and doing all the art and stuff and Photoshop you anything. I retweet the hilarious ones. Maybe I'm just like a conduit, bring it to the larger world.
Talking about your shirts a little bit, I mean, I get what you're saying. I have a Scary Terry shirt right on right now, too. I need to get some of those Shoot a Three Coward Ben Simmons shirts that you got, though.
Oh, those yeah. Just blew up. See, those. That's just another guy on Twitter. Just saw that image made by at JackMichael17. That guy was making memes for days. And just made that. Yeah, no, the Rain and Jays have been, like, talking about making shirts for a while, but then we just don't do it.
Just have weird Celtics Twitter make all your shirts for you.
Probably, but that'd be easier, but that feels weird just making people make t-shirts. Although, that's probably, like, the idea would be to make money off of it, but you really shouldn't be making that much money off the fine folks of the internet who are providing the memes for free.
No, I enjoy them. I've got a Scary Terry t-shirt as well. It took a while to arrive, but I was wearing a Sprite to play on.
I have. I think the confetti one's the best, but I don't have that one. I have one where he's just holding up a clover and holding up the three. Kind of a Tito Three Sticks one, but there's many great Scary Terry versions.
Well, the screen mask, and obviously he's in like a jersey with him.
Yeah, before we move on to actual basketball, I want to thank you like I did with John. Just for the contribution that podcasts, especially yours, make to the national and international fans. Yeah, I'm a lifelong Celtics fan who lives in Wisconsin. You know, obviously Adam's even further away. So it's really a great thing to have like a conversation with fans, which is what your podcast, despite the knowledge of the three of you, you know, still manages to feel like. So thank you very much for that.
Appreciate that. That's probably been the coolest thing about like the podcast having any moderate success is that like people from international or just across the country reaching out and like having that Celtics conversation, like getting a bunch of tweets from people in Australia, England, and then a bunch of people in South America. It's just been really cool to like that. So that's like one of the cooler things and thing I'm more proud of in doing Lockdown.
Yeah, I've realized the Celtics have a pretty big international following. Maybe, you know, Baines and Tice help a little bit, but they're just a pretty storied franchise. I'm sure that does a lot for them, but they definitely have a good amount of fans from overseas that I see.
Yeah, well, growing up, all we had was the Bulls, the Lakers, and the Celtics. So realistically, you only followed one of the three.
I actually asked all the people in Australia how they became Celtics fans, and a lot of them said it was like video games. They wanted to play with a good team, and so they played with the Celtics, or like the early tapes and stuff of the NBA were just like Magic versus Bird, and they went with chose Larry Bird. So, and there's like a lot of real random stories of how people stumble onto the Celtics, but it definitely feels like it has a huge international fan base.
Sure. So moving on to NBA guys, anything you want to start with? Yeah, I'll hop into this really quick. I've heard you previously say that you think Hayward's going to be the best player on the team next year. And also, yesterday you tweeted your hot take that Kyrie might be the fourth best on the team.
Let me tell you, that was like the lukewarmest of takes because you notice I had to say prefaced it by saying hot take, and then I said Kyrie might be. It's just a more of a question. If it was an actual hot take, I would have just said Kyrie's the fourth best player on the Celtics. Kyrie is an elite scorer, and he has one skill that he does better than majority of the league other than Steph Curry, one-on-one scoring. He just is a smaller player and can only guard point guards and is not the best defender. It's just whether or not you value, I guess, the versatility of Hayward and Horford. I mean, Horford, thinking about this as people have been roasting me for my hot take, and we really don't know what Hayward's going to be. I think he has the potential to be quite good and fit in exactly with the Brad Stevens mold of being a versatile player, 6'8", can guard multiple positions, and he can pretty much, he can facilitate the offense. He's apparently a better shooter, a three-point shooter now. I think he has the potential to be really good. And then going back to my main man, Al Horford, he is the best defensive player on the best defensive team. He is a defensive player of the year candidate, and it facilitates their entire offense. Having him being able to go five out and be a center who can shoot and stretch the floor, basically, we players off like Joel Embiid couldn't guard Al Horford on the perimeter. That's crazy to be able to do. His value is immense. I was definitely not trying to knock Kyrie Irving. It's just more of a thought experiment, I guess, is more of the hot take. That guy's only 19 years old. I mean, how could he? I think he's going to be great, but I don't know if he's right now better than Kyrie Irving.
Well, the way it's described, you would only need an either or between Jaylen and Tatum. So, I mean, if you already feel that Hayward and Horford are better, which is altogether possible, then you only need one of the young guys to make that jump. So, yeah, completely realistic take.
I mean, is that outrageous? There's some one of the locked on, the guy who does the fantasy poll, I think I retweeted, and 70% said Kyrie Irving was the best player on the Celtics. Is this? I don't agree, but it feels like that's what the general public believes. I'm curious.
He's definitely the biggest name on the Celtics.
Oh, he's currently, especially not knowing Hayward's health, I would say he's first or second, you know, depending on him versus Horford. But I think your take is actually very legit, and I liked it when you posted it. I'm definitely a fan of two-way players over, like, elite scorers. You know, the question is whether, you know, the difference in defense is enough to make up for Kyrie being so good on offense.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, my fault. I think the versatility does do a lot for Hayward and Horford, and especially Horford. Like you said, his defense is absolutely ridiculous, and with guys like Joel Embiid not being able to stop him while he's putting the clamps on Embiid on the other side, does a lot, and I think you could put Horford over him. Kyrie does have that flashiness to him, though, and I think we still haven't seen full Kyrie unlocked in this Brad Stevens system. You know, he didn't play all too much last year. I think he'll shock a lot of people. I mean, so will Hayward, but I think that the fourth could be possible if we're keeping the hot take here.
Well, Kyrie came really close to 50-40-90. And so, you know, he could just end up getting like 8 or 10 assists a game and much more efficient scoring, raise his game to like MVP level.
Here's the thing is that, I'm thinking about Hayward coming back and like how much better he's going to be with like playing around players like Kyrie Irving and how good the Celtics were. But you imagine having being able to run pick and roll with Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving and Hayward being able to pop. Like there was someone tweeted it the other day, just a clip from the preseason game against the Hornets, city offense ever, and all five starters scored on five consecutive possessions. Just like the offense with Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving, and Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Al Horford. The potential that both of them are just have like their best offensive seasons is it's there. I like fully believe that having Gordon Hayward on the court is going to help out Kyrie Irving just in terms of assists and then just more space. Like I think the Celtics offense next year has potential to be very good. Is that a hot take? That's a solid ground.
Nobody's going to believe that.
Or should they? I just made it up.
Well, where do you think Kyrie ranks among all the league point guards? Like, I think Curry's above him, but what about CP3, Russ? I mean, some people put John Wall above him. I think that's ridiculous. But
all the way he's ranks in it. It's a difficult discussion. I don't know. I think he's, it's like, who would you rather have? CP3's old, but he's like very good at defense and is kind of more of an offensive facilitator than Kyrie, an elite scorer. It's hard to kind of quantify that. I don't know. I'm not great with the point guard rankings. I think Steph's better. I think Russell Westbrook is better, but I don't necessarily like the way he plays, but he's just kind of a freak. He's definitely not better than John Wall. I mean, John Wall has never won anything.
Yeah, we can agree to say top three, really.
That's probably fair. Depends on whether you consider Harden also a point guard.
Yeah, I mean, Harden,
there are no positions, and we should just rank these players equally.
I agree, though. So if Hayward is the best player on the team next year, and say the spotlight is all focused on him coming back from this injury and everything, do you think that affects Kyrie at all? I mean, I know it's not the same as the LeBron spotlight, but is he really trying to be the main guy on the team, like the face of a franchise? I don't necessarily think so, but of course, all these Knicks talks are going crazy that he's going to leave. I think that he's happy here playing with younger guys that he didn't have in Cleveland, and he seems like they have good chemistry. But do you think maybe Hayward taking the spotlight could affect him at all going into next offseason?
I don't really think Hayward, even if he has like an amazing season, has the potential to steal the spotlight from Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving's like Uncle Drew. He has, like, I think the most popular shoes right now. Don't quote me on that because I don't know anything about sneakers. But you see Kyrie Irving shoes everywhere. Like, even I think if the Celtics win and Kyrie and Hayward play well, Kyrie's going to get the spotlight just because, one, fancier shit. And, like, when he's dribbling and makes amazing moves, like, he is the highlight guy. I think Gordon Hayward is probably going to be undervalued just in his lack of flashiness. That's, like, not exactly the type of player he is. I think they both can put up a lot of points, and as long as Kyrie's still putting up points, I don't think it's going to... The thing about Kyrie, I don't really worry about him leaving to go to New York. It feels like he has chemistry with these guys. He always talks kind of glowingly about how smart Brad Stevens is. But in the NBA, you just never know. Like, Kyrie Irving is kind of a weird dude and could just make his decision one day, like, boom, I want to go to New York during free agency. And it could happen. But I don't know if it's going to be, like, directly affected on, like, who gets all the attention. Because I think he's going to be kind of the guy. If the Celtics win, he's going to get most of the credit.
Oh, for sure. Kyrie's going to be really vital for us this season. And if he chooses to leave, then hopefully we can lock up Terry and keep him moving forward.
Do you have a theory or a desire regarding getting under the cap?
Man, the only strategy I've heard right now is to trade Mook to get under the tax. And I think the Celtics have potential to play for a championship this year. And so you don't give away a guy who can just come in off the bench and score. I think he's going to get, like, less minutes, but I don't think you just trade that for, because this is, like, definitely a year to strike. And I understand not wanting to pay the tax and then not wanting to, the repeater tax is when you do, is like when it really kicks in. So not wanting to do that, but to do it right now, unless maybe, like, they have until the trade deadline, like the tax doesn't kick in until the end of the season. So there's no reason to rush the move now. I would just kind of wait on it. And if that happens to, like, make sense and you can get, like, sign someone at the minimum who might fit better, sure. But right now, pay the tax. They're plenty rich, the owners of Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who's going to be more valuable for the Celtics if they could sign. Mook's on a great deal, and unless he's unhappy with his role, he's going to fit great. He's one of those wings that, you know, the positionless basketball works great, can switch on everything. And I do hate the iso ball a little bit, but sometimes you need it. We won't as much next year with everyone healthy, hopefully, but I don't think you'd get a
still some moments player of iso Mook, man. I can't. That guy, just when he's feeling a rhythm and you know he's going up, it's amazing stuff. Even when he misses, it's still entertaining to me because everyone in the building knows what's going to happen. And a lot of times he scores, which is damn impressive.
Yeah, it reminds me of Carmelo a lot almost.
Well, they got very similar games, except I think Mook is more of a... Mook's he's an underrated defender. I think he's really like a stronger defender who can guard some guys in the post and be more physical than your average kind of switchable four.
Definitely. And you also bring up a really interesting rule that not everyone's aware of, and I've recently myself, that they don't calculate for tax, cap, etc. until the last day of the season, which, you know, I always assume they prorated. Like, if you trade somebody at the trade deadline, it's like 2/3 of the contract. But no, it is just the end of the year. So we could really hold off until the end. If Shimmy and, you know, some of the secondary scorers that we need to replace Mook develop the way we'd like them to, then we could trade them at the deadline, even if it takes offloading a couple of, like, second-round picks. Like, I learned all of that recently, and, you know, that kind of changes my opinion about it myself.
So, Jan, what do you think could happen if Horford got injured? We've got Tice, we've got Williams, but that's the weakest point on the team at the moment. Barras seems stacked. How do you see that working out? Obviously, that's a doom and gloom situation.
I think there would be a lot of mix of Tyson Baines, a lot of offense, defense, and then you'd see some crazy small lineups. Maybe with Mook at center, maybe with Shemi Ogilvy at center. I don't know, Al Horford going out, there's a reason. I think he's the most valuable player on defense in terms of just his communication and leadership, and then all the other skills he adds in terms of just guarding the paint and being able to step out. So
he's the one player we just can't afford to lose.
Not yet with the Celtics. He's had some, like, concussion issues, but he had some seasons with the Hawks where he missed a fair amount of time. So that would, I think that would be devastating to the Celtics because they unquite like Horford. Tice is like similar in his skill set. I just don't know if you can rely on him for the kind of offense and that Horford creates. And Tice is still kind of a smaller guy compared to like Horford in terms of just like body and defending in the post.
Do you think Robert Williams will contribute at all, like some valuable minutes in his first year?
Oh, man, that guy can do some crazy shit. I really hope he flies in for block. Like, that's the thing. I think he might be able to, because if you're a rookie and, like, Brad Stevens is going to play you, you have to contribute on the defensive end. And so the Celtics just don't have a guy, like, with that leaping ability, like, a really who can play above the rim. So maybe he earns his way that way, just playing stellar defense. I don't know. It's going to be tough to crack the lineup. I wouldn't be surprised if he's played a number of games in Maine. But hopefully, just his ability to play above the rim is something that Brad Stevens never really had. And I think we talked about on the Locked On Celtics podcast a bunch about having, like, him having a Swiss Army knife of just different types of players that he likes to experiment with. And this is just a new kind of weapon for him. So maybe Brad likes to experiment a bit and just throws it in there. I'm sure he's going to get some time just because he's such an athletic freak. You kind of want to see what you have.
So do you have an opinion about Brad Wanamaker yet? And if so, how does he compare or contrast with Shane Larkin?
Opinions about Brad Wanamaker. But Jay King told me that he's a pretty good shooter and he's from Philadelphia. So that's all I know.
Yeah, in regards to Williams, we had somebody on the other day, Colton Chumbley, he covers Texas A&M. He was talking about how Williams is like a younger, more athletic version of DeAndre Jordan. He even took the reach out saying he's like a young Shaq.
Young Shaq is the most dominant player in the history of time. Everyone right now should go and watch YouTube clips of Shaq at like LSU in his first season of the Magic. Oh my god, it's terrifying.
Yeah, it was a crime when they took Leitner instead of Shaq onto the
dominate a game. He can roll to the rim and he can finish lobs. He can grab the boards really well. I am interested to see him in a limited minutes role to see how he does against NBA level competition, even if it's just in garbage time.
I dream of my lineup with him and Marcus in it and just terrorizing people on defense with Marcus Morris in there too. And Smart loves throwing his lobs. Robert Williams will come down with him hard. It at least makes for some interesting basketball.
Oh yeah, the Smart-Williams connection on those lobs. Because you're right, Smart is very good at that, coming out of the pick and roll. He normally hits Horford, who he dunks it, but it's not like an enthusiastic fuck you dunk. But with Robert Williams, that's what I expect him to do every time.
Who do you think that our lineup is to close out the game? Because I think Marcus is vital for being in there, but I don't know who we take out. It's almost, I think we're swapping him and Kyrie based on what we need. But like our closing lineups, like I don't feel good having any of those starting five and Marcus on the bench almost.
Yeah, no, it's like a good problem to have, but it's a good question. I think it's going to be like matchup specific. It's like if they have a better, I don't know, you don't want to take out Tatum and you don't want to take out Jaylen Brown either, but you think Marcus Smart's defense would be key. Very good question. I don't know. You don't want to take out Kyrie necessarily because of just his ability to score, especially late. I don't know. I think it's one of the a good problems to have. Maybe you'll see Terry in there, depending on matchups. I don't know. It's tough because the Celtics starting lineup is so good that you can't really imagine wanting to take any of those guys out for Marcus Smart. But Marcus Smart is that good that you want him in there late making plays. So it's a great problem to have. I'm sure Brad Stevens is loving it.
Oh, yeah, not complaining. I think Jaylen is a shoe-in to be there, though, because he fits perfectly with those guys, like an amazing defender, and can hit that knockdown catch-and-shoot three at a level that was not expected. And he doesn't require the ball necessarily as much. He can do good things when he has it, but I think he fits around other All-Stars well, and I think that's kind of why Tatum was rumored to be traded a little bit previously. I don't think that's happening anymore. But I think, like, him, Hayward, and Horford locks to be in because of their versatility.
Yeah, I think Tatum's in there, too, just because he's a pretty good defensive player. I think you might not even need Marcus Smart. You might just roll with the final five or the starters and just keep Kyrie in there, and then you surround him basically with four guys who can shoot the three and are all good defenders who can switch everything. That's a pretty potent lineup, and I would just wouldn't be surprised if that's just what they went with. Like, you don't want to take Jaylen Brown off, just you're right, he can catch and shoot threes, but he's also probably one of the better defenders in that lineup, just his ability to guard. Maybe he can't guard point guards as much, but like 2 through 4. So maybe you don't need Marcus Smart. Maybe you just unleash him in a kind of in case of emergency.
So in general, who do you see being the second ball handler, throughout all 48? Obviously, Kyrie's going to run the show, but beyond that, do you see Hayward, Smart, or Rozier being kind of the next option?
I think it's going to be Hayward. I think Brad Stevens mentioned that it was either before the year or when they were doing kind of running those lineups with Horford was the point guard with like four wings around him. I think they said that they initially had kind of designed that for Gordon Hayward. So I would expect to see kind of staggered minutes where he's kind of the guy who leads maybe a second unit. That, yeah, I'm sure you're going to see a lot of Marcus Smart at the point guard. Terry has the ability to kind of play off ball. I think he needs to get better in the pick and roll for him to kind of deserve the ball more. So playmaking, facilitating, I think that's something he can get better at. But he has the ability to play off ball and knock down threes. So I don't know. I think everyone's going to get a little bit of time. But the secondary, I think you're going to see a lot of minutes with Gordon Hayward at point guard.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to stagger those starter minutes pretty good. Last year, they took Tatum and Horford out pretty early in games. For I want to say it was Marcus Morris and Smart, and then ran those two with the second unit. I think Tatum is going to get a lot of minutes running that second unit with the ball in his hand, and Horford just positively impacts everyone. So it's good to have him on with some of those lesser guys that don't necessarily need him as much. So I think those guys will be there. But I mean, everyone on our bench can do it. Like, we're such a deep team too. It's absolutely ridiculous.
How do you think the Celtics players are going to react, like, if they get benched? Like, what if there's a big, we're playing Joel Embiid and the Sixers, and Brad wants to start Aaron Baines and he has to bench Jalen or Tatum? Like, both handle it well because it feels like the Celtics culture is good, but like, who knows? Who knows how people react to being benched?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of these guys have crazy egos, just from what we can tell. Like, I don't think Kyrie's in that boat either, even though he kind of gets shamed for that. I think if we're winning games, that it's not going to matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kyrie was probably troubled by the fact nobody perceived him to be better at anything than LeBron, because LeBron's like, best at this, best at this, best at this. I'm hoping that Kyrie is content knowing that he's our best offensive player / scorer, and, you know, is even okay with sitting down when we're up two or three possessions.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Kyrie will have a problem with it. Like, I think that it was kind of overblown, and it's like, he was literally getting asked questions about how LeBron was a father figure in his life. I think it was ridiculous. Like, the narrative around LeBron is just, I mean, it wasn't even the Cavaliers. It was the LeBrons. Like, it made no sense. And I think even, like we were saying, Smart could be in for Kyrie at the end of the game, and I don't think he's going to take it too hard necessarily. If, you know, people are communicating with him, and he seems like he's an understanding guy almost. In regards to that, as long as he's getting talked through everything. And, I mean, he's still going to be one of the leaders.
Hey, Sam, do you think that the Lakers will host in the first round?
Oh, I think they will make the playoffs, but I don't think they'll be top four. I think the Warriors, Rockets, Thunder, I think, could be quite good, but because they don't have Carmelo Anthony. The Jazz.
That's my fourth.
The Spurs, I think, could be good with DeRozan. Like, there's still some talent on the Spurs team, and they won 48 games last year without DeMar DeRozan and without Kawhi. So you add someone like DeRozan, who I think I love to crap on him because he just takes terrible shots, but he's a pretty good scorer. So the Spurs are probably going to be there. I think the Lakers, just having LeBron, to make them better than the Trailblazers. I'd love for the Nuggets to make a run, have Isaiah just like come in and be the ultimate six man. That'd be a great story.
What about on the East? I've been asking everybody this. I mean, there's some other good teams on the East that I feel are getting underlooked. Milwaukee is the prime example for me, with the addition of Lopez and Budenholzer as the new coach. How do you think they're going to do this season?
Certainly the four. I think I've liked their moves. I like the bringing in Brook Lopez. I think they're play the Celtics very well, and Giannis is Giannis, and they got rid of Jabari Parker, who is not good. They have a legitimate coach, not Joel, but Joe Prunty. I think they're clearly in the top tier. After that, I don't know. The East is not great after the top four seeds. I think the Knicks aren't going to be terrible. They might lose a lot of games, but I think they're going to be interesting. Here's my lock for Rookie of the Year is going to be Kevin Knox. The New York media surrounding like a rookie who's like at all decent, and then just in that scene, I don't know who else is going to like really stand out. I think Knox is he's going to put up like 18 points a game. And if you do that in New York City, you're automatically Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, he drives downhill. I mean, he's very aggressive. He's almost like a latter-day Burger King, so they're going
to
love him.
Well, back to the top of the East, do you think the Pacers are up there too? Like, I swear, they're all over social media for some reason. People love the Pacers. Like, Oladipo getting that most improved and the progression and picking up Tyreek, but... And they have some quieter pickups, too. Like, I think Doug McDermott's going to be good for spacing the floor for them. I just don't think they're above the Bucks. I actually got into it with someone on Twitter yesterday about this. But I think the Bucks are over the Pacers, and the Pacers are being overrated. They're a good team, don't get me wrong, but I still think they have a little bit ways to go.
No, I'd agree. I was very impressed by what Oladipo did, but it's like the surrounding pieces. It's whether or not Miles Turner can really show up. I think the Pacers are good, and they're, I agree, lower than the Bucks. But see, man, that's the crazy thing about the NBA is most of these predictions will probably be wrong. Like, and who knows, an injury could happen and like something crazy happens. I don't, the teams who are like really bad, who might surprise you guys, like could the Magic do anything? I don't think so.
I love what they're doing.
I thought the Magic were a great landing spot for Isaiah with their need for a little bit of offense there, and they have the length to make up for him. I'm kind of disappointed they missed out on that one.
I think only place he would have started.
Yeah. Well, they need exactly what he has, which is playmaking and outside shooting. So, yeah, that was really surprising, especially if they try to, if they're starting Gordon, Isaac, and Bamba, you know, they're really going to need somebody that can space the floor and distribute.
Get a chance. Just try to see Mo Bamba in person because his arms are the most absurd things. And like you watch him and they come out of his body and they just keep going forever. It's really something else. So like that was one of my biggest takeaways from Summer League was just Mo Bamba has the most absurd arms I've ever seen.
Yeah, that one dunk that he had in his college season where he seems like he's holding the ball above the backboard. He's ridiculous. He's just, the length on him, like you're saying, is crazy.
I'm always prone to have like basketball crushes on really smart guys. And like Jaylen Brown is my avatar on Twitter for a reason. Mo Bamba scored a 29 on the ACT. And, you know, for me, that's like, wow, he must be able to take. Not that it's really the same type of intelligence at all, but, you know, that makes me think he's going to be an NBA genius just because, you know, I'm a sucker for that.
So talking about his arms, I've just looked it up online and he's got a 7-foot wingspan. That's just fucking crazy.
Isn't that insane? He just stands straight up and can like scratch his shins.
What a life. He's like arms dragging on the floor while he's walking. So one of my hot takes for next year is that I think the Cavs are going to make the playoffs with this team. Mainly because the East sucks a little bit there, but I would love for them to make the 8 seed and blow them out. And I also want to see Sexton do good. Like now that LeBron's out of there, I can actually enjoy Cleveland a little bit. I really like Sexton and the intensity he brings. Did you see him flexing on guys on defense at the top of the key? Like this guy's crazy, and the intensity he brings is so funny. And I think Kevin Love will step up a lot with LeBron there to improve that he's a good player and deserving of the praise that he's been getting. But I think he's got to put on some weight. They can get back in the post.
I think it'll be hard for him to bang like he used to. But, I mean, maybe fewer rebounds and more outside shooting.
About the East is, we've named like the top five teams. And then I think it's like clearly the Wizards are pretty good because they have talent. I think the Pistons are going to be decent just because they have talent. That's seven teams. The eighth, I don't think the Hornets are going to be that great. And then it's the Knicks, Nets, Bulls, Magic, and Hawks. Like, dope. And the Cavs have, they're going to be, the Cavs versus the Heat, basically. For that eighth seed, and they're kind of like the Celtics in the early Brad Stevens era, where they just like play well and are like very scrappy and like work their asses off, but don't have the top of the line talent. So I always have faith in the Heat to like make a late season run and make the playoffs, and then like play a decently tough playoff series and lose.
I went to the California Classic Summer League and saw Adebayo, and I was blown away by his ball handling. Like I think they're trying to do something else with that with him. Like he was their point guard there. He was bringing the ball up the floor, going past people and driving in with crazy athleticism. I mean, he looks like Dwight with those shoulders too. But I almost thought he was a little bigger and stronger rather than the quickness he has to him. So he's an interesting piece they have there.
That's what it feels like everyone's doing in the NBA. I saw a story the other day of like Joel Embiid is like when he was doing practicing. I think he was actually working out with Tatum. He was the primary ball handler too. And it makes sense. Like if you're going to have, why not try to have your big men be as skilled as possible? It's like we've seen with Horford's playmaking how valuable that is. And so if you're going to be doing player development, that's exactly what you should be doing with such a guy like that. I haven't seen Bam do anything like that. I was kind of surprised to hear that, but I'm looking forward to it now because a big man who can do like crazy dribbling moves or like make cool passes is always going to be one of my favorite things.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It brings the other big out of the paint too. It does a lot for the rest of the team spacing the floor.
Well, they have Linux too, so I mean, that can help him run 5 hours.
Yeah, there you go. And there goes all the Whiteside's minutes.
Yeah, Whiteside needs to go.
Big time.
I got into it on Twitter today with somebody who was saying we needed to trade Horford for Whiteside.
Those are the same people that wanted to sign Dwight Howard.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of Dwight, I actually think that he's going to be pretty good in Washington. Like, he weirdly, speaking of bigs crossing people over, I just think of that poster he had last year. I forget who he crossed, but that was ridiculous. Like, Dwight is pulling out something else too. And I think, you know, John Wall's been wanting an athletic center. It's definitely better than Gortat for them. I mean, it's easy to be better than Gortat, I guess. But I think they're quietly going to do okay. At least they kind of need to. Them and the Blazers are, you know, teams running it back with their same duo that aren't really going anywhere. So they need to make a difference. But I think Dwight will be good for them.
He's certainly better than Gortat. I think the Wizards still have the kind of, they don't have a great bench. And that's kind of been the story of the Wizards. They still are paying Jan Mahimi $15 million a year. Dwight Howard, who are they going to bring in? They don't have like a second big. Really. And Dwight Howard can't really play go small. And so it's more Markieff Morris. They did add Austin Rivers, so maybe that will change things around. But I still think that's the problem, is that they don't have the depth, especially at the big position, to really like compete in the playoffs. That's what we saw. We saw Horford kind of do a good job against them 2 years ago. I just don't think the Wizards really did anything to solve their depth.
While we're talking about the West Coast, what do you think of the Lakers roster? I mean, I'm getting mixed reviews. Some people are saying that it's a half-decent roster. Other people are saying it's just going to be a shit show. Just wondering what your thoughts on that are.
Great to watch, because sometimes they're going to do well together and sometimes it's going to be an absolute shit show. And it's going to be nice. Yeah, no, I'm hedging right there. As you can tell, I don't really take the hottest takes. I really just try to just nuance. And then if anything happens, I can say I claim that. But I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to say Rondo and LeBron together, just because they're both very intelligent basketball players. Lance is always entertaining. I don't think he's the most talented player, but who knows? Like, really, I would hope that the Lakers play the younger guys, like Ingram and Lonzo, Hurt, and so I just play them with LeBron. But I think there could be good moments. Like, Michael Beasley was getting an MVP chance in Madison Square Garden Celtics. Like, he has some moments where he can score 30. Guys are just like kind of a hilarious, like on a sitcom, and they make a cameo every now and then. And like sometimes they go for 30, and then sometimes they end up on Shaq and a Fool. Hopefully there's some good fights, which are like yelling matches between LeBron and Rondo. That'd be a lot of fun. LeBron and Lance. I think it's going to be a very memeable and fun season to watch the Lakers, because I don't think they're going to be that great. And all the cast of characters they brought in, it's going to be fun.
I want to watch the shouting match between LeBron and LeVar, personally.
Front row. Oh, they don't even let LeVar sit courtside anymore, which is a travesty.
Yeah, I think the first time LeVar yells at LeBron, they trade Lonzo.
Yeah, that Michael Beasley game you were talking about, I remember watching that and being the most frustrating thing last year. Like, we had so many opportunities, and every time Mike Beasley got the ball in the low post, I was like, this is going to go in. There's nothing we can do about this, and it's just ridiculous. It was one game. And I'm excited. I really want to see Rondo scream at LeBron for not running back on defense. Like, I think he's going to be the guy to do it of any of them, to put LeBron in his place. Be like, dude, I understand who you think you are, but you need to be running back. Like, Rondo's not going to take any of that shit.
Well, you're not remembering Celtics Rondo, not post-Celtics Rondo, because that's Rondo half the time now, too.
True, like, goes for a swipe and a steal and then watches someone blow by him. So it'll be nice to see him do that and then yell at LeBron for not doing anything.
Exactly. I think they're interesting with trying to surround him with ball handlers. Like, I think they were saying LeBron wants to play on the low post a little more so. And, you know, like he was doing in that Toronto series, I guess he was doing a little more there. It was playoffs, but he has that ridiculous fadeaway that's practically his shot at this point. And, so I get the ball handling around him, you know, driving and kicking, but if who you're kicking to can't even hit the three, then I don't know how much that does. Their quote-unquote death lineup is interesting with, I think it was Lonzo, Ingram, Kuzma, LeBron, and Josh Hart. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you have a little bit of shooting there, but I don't know. Like, I'm still on the edge about Ingram there. I think he's good, but I don't know what he's necessarily going to progress into. I don't know. It's a little questionable there. I think they're more so playing for the future rather than right now with all the 1 years they signed and everything, banking on landing one of those big free agents next year.
So what about, while we're on a bit of a Lakers theme,
what's your thoughts on the reports of Tatum training with Kobe over the last few days?
I mean, I hope he doesn't have a Mamba mentality and like will still pass the basketball. There's been some great memes going around. It was like Tatum asking like Kobe, so what do I do when I pass out of the double team? And Kobe's like, you do what? It's good to learn from the best, one of the best scorers ever to play basketball. And clearly, like, everyone in the NBA who's kind of, like, playing now grew up watching Kobe and idolizing Kobe. And so it's cool for Tatum. I don't know how much to take like from these offseason workouts. Like, really, how much did that change his game? Like, Hakeem Olajuwon has been tricking people into paying him to, like, teach him how to do the dream shake, like, for offseason after offseason. You always hear stories about that, but then you never see someone come back and it's like, oh, they're a dominant post player now. So I don't know how these
work. Like, every 3 months for the last 4 years, it's bizarre.
Is he just stealing the British people's money to teach them a dream shake?
Like, we're not even, like...
We're not even the main city in the country. I don't know what's going on. Every 3 to 4 months, there's posters everywhere. Hakeem Olajuwon basketball camp. I mean, I haven't been to one myself. It's been a long time since I played basketball.
So you haven't learned the dream shake there in Birmingham?
My basketball days finished a long time before he realized we were just as stupid with just as much money.
Did you see the video of it was side by side Tatum and Kobe? And their games are insanely similar. Like, it actually made me go back and watch a little bit of more Kobe tapes just to think about Tatum while I'm watching him a bit. And their games are so insanely similar. Like, obviously, you can tell Tatum modeled his game after this guy.
Dude, I'm so high on Tatum right now. I mean, I'm probably going to get a lot of hate for this, but there's not a single player in the NBA that I'd be willing to trade him for.
I like that hot take. But more I think about it, you just brought up the Kobe Tatum's game looking very similar and could learn from Kobe. Kobe had amazing footwork and, like, was very smart about his footwork and, like, where and just that was his ability to, like, hit turnaround jump shots and kind of that mid-range game. If Tatum can, like, pick up something from him there, that would be great. But you're right. Tatum's – I don't even think he needs Kobe Bryant's help, but I agree with you that he's going to be pretty good. Quite good. There's another hot take. You see how I paused before saying an adjective? I apologize.
People go off on
you. I mean, everybody's worrying about Kyrie, and I get it. He is the face of the franchise. He's an elite-level scorer. He's an NBA champion. But I'd be much more concerned with keeping Jaylen and Jason around long-term simply because they're the future of the franchise. And with Kyrie, yeah, he's a fantastic player, but he is a bit of a flight risk, and I'd much rather secure the next 10 years of being competitive in the league than the next year of having Uncle Drew on the squad.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the off season, and everyone needs something to talk about. And Kyrie's a hot topic. You know, he's a big name throughout. He's pretty much a household name at this point. And after his little bit of drama running out of Cleveland, it's easy to make a story out of him.
Well, his personality is kind of intentionally enigmatic. You know, I think he likes to keep us guessing. And I think he kind of, you know, he drives off of that, you know. So I think if we were too at ease with him here, he'd feel like he wasn't appreciated.
Me too.
Big time. The cereal sneakers are fantastic.
The Luckies that he wore, and Tatum wears them all the time too. It's those gold ones with the green shamrocks on them. They're going for however many grand now. Yeah, exactly. So, Sam, I have a question for you. Do you use Reddit at all? I've noticed a lot of people like Kevin O'Connor's on Reddit, and it's becoming bigger for basketball. But do you, like, look over there at all on NBA or Celtics or anything?
I've been on Reddit since, like, 2007. In college, me and my roommates just used to sit around and, like, look at goofy shit on Reddit. But it's Reddit all the time. NBA, our NBA. I post less than I used to. And now I have a different account that's not all, like, the weird shit that I posted when I was 18 to 25. I'm on Reddit all the time.
Yeah, it almost seems like another off branch of a weird Celtics Twitter, except everyone has clear narratives on Reddit that they're just going to stick with, and there's nothing you could do about it. And if you post something against that, you're getting downvoted into hell.
Reddit's touchy as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, so is Twitter and everybody. Yeah, exactly.
Just organized in a different manner.
Yeah, just on Twitter, if you don't like to take the time to write something smart-ass or judgmental.
Yeah, at least there's no negative voting on Twitter. You can't, like, dislike someone and take a like away.
Exactly. I like that there's no edit on Twitter. So if you just shoot out hot takes, you can't go back and change it.
Except I am so bad at typing.
Yeah, well, you can't go back and edit the same one, can you? You have to go back and kind of correct underneath.
Oh, yeah. They didn't do it again.
Yeah, yeah.
But so many jokes have been ruined by dumb typos, man.
Big time. I pun way too much, so I feel that.
And you never want to delete it and retype the whole thing over again with the typo. By that point, you're like, this wasn't even worth posting. I don't know why I did it in the first place.
Yeah, it's okay. The readers are going to have your sense of timing. But yeah, I've had the same exact sensation.
How do you think the Celtics compare to the Warriors? Do we have a real shot at winning the whole thing this year?
Yeah, I think they're the Celtics have played the Warriors better than any team over the past couple of years. Very small sample size, but I think they have exactly what you need in terms of defensively to match up against the Warriors. A lot of guys who are switchable, big. You can go small with Horford at the five. Going to have the offense to kind of score with the Warriors this year. And then, like, we've had a lot of discussion about Kyrie Irving on this podcast, but I think against them, he becomes kind of the most valuable. They don't really have a player like Klay Thompson can guard Kyrie a little bit, but it still, like, opens up the rest of the team. I think we've seen Kyrie go into Oracle and, like, win an NBA Finals with his performance. And so obviously the Warriors would be favored just because they're the freaking Warriors, but I think anything can happen in a 7-game series. And so I think the Celtics are the second best team in the NBA this year, and they definitely have a chance.
Yeah, and I guess that question is also kind of contingent on the Warriors actually making it. Do you think that the Rockets, I mean, they were so close last year with CP3 just getting injured. Do you think the Rockets have a chance at being that, or is it going to be the Warriors in the finals?
Anti-Melo, that I feel like replacing Trevor Ariza with Melo just completely sours me on the entire idea of the Rockets, but the Rockets are going to be good. The Rockets are still going to score a lot of points. It's whether or not they can be there defensively. But I still think that they'll be good. It's just, for some reason, I was the huge anti-Melo guy.
For some reason, he made the Thunder terrible last year. I'm totally on board with you there. There's plenty of reasons.
Career and body of work, but yeah.
All right, Sam, as head coaching philosophical technique, would you take Kaizen? Ubuntu.
Ubuntu's gotten proven success. It has a championship. Brotherhood, as we've seen, of Ubuntu has broken up. They didn't even talk to Ray Allen. There's a whole feud there. It really feels like they didn't take that to heart. With Kaizen, it's continual. There's no stopping. Everything, you're getting a little bit better every single time. And I mix it in. And you've noticed Brad Stevens' record with the Celtics has gotten a little bit better every single year. I mean, the sustained progress of Kaizen than the one-year Brotherhood of my ass. But I think I like my answer for that.
Good answer. Similar to mine if I gave one, probably. But that was awesome.
Well, thanks for coming on to the podcast, Jam. I know you're busy. Hopefully we can get you in again towards the middle of the season. I know you'll be busy with your own podcast at that point, though.
Fun. Like hanging out, talking Celtics. I was just going on a tweet rant earlier today about Daniel Tice. But it's nicer to talk to actual people about the crazy Celtics thoughts I have.
Yeah, and you're right. Tice, as a third center, can shoot threes. Who can match that?
He's talking about Daniel Tice, and everyone should be talking about Daniel Tice. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's super underrated defensively, too. He's just in the right spot.
Always, he pulled down the rebounds. He can switch. He sometimes got cool haircuts. I mean, he's got a lot going on.
Sleeve tattoo.
Yeah, it's like if Birdman had an outside shot.
That's it for today, guys. You've been listening to the Celtics Pulse podcast. You can catch us on iTunes. We're now on Spotify, or you can listen to the podcast direct from the website. We've also got Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And we'll catch you next time. Thanks again. And before we go, just a quick word from our sponsor.
Hello, everyone. This is Brian Kaler. I am your panelist here, as well as the owner teacher for Test Prep Machine. Basically, I teach prep classes for the LSAT, GMAT, and GRE. So if you're interested in graduate school and have, you know, put those tests off or perhaps been intimidated by them, my job is to make sure you know what's coming and can, you know, take an efficient approach to every single question type. Feel free to get in touch with me here at, you know, via my Twitter account, which is kind of what we run this podcast through. I am at Sports Genius, and the last S is a one. Otherwise, I also have a podcast coming up, which is going to be the NBA Burner Front Office podcast. And it's going to be basically a lot of trade machine play, kind of like we did today, but that's going to be the focus, as well as, you know, regular segments doing things like breaking down rules that come up in trade talks and such. All right. Thank you, everyone. Please go visit Celtics Pulse and check out all the articles on our blog. We've been putting a lot of great material up. And have a great weekend.
Thanks again, guys. As Brian said, if you can go onto the website, we have articles posted daily. There's a podcast once or twice every week, and the clothing line's coming soon. Everybody have a great day.